Parshavayigash begins with the description of the confrontation between Yehuda and Yosef. Yosef had placed a silver goblet, in Binyamin's saddlebag, Binyamin being the youngest of the brothers, and now is accusing Binyamin of stealing. And so he demands that Binyamin be punished. Yehuda confronts Yosef, Vayigash Elav Yehuda, and he is ready for everything, for anything, to kill or be killed in defense of his brother. And of course, the crime was not a true crime. Binyamin had not stolen the goblet. It was a test that Yosef had devised, and the crime was only in the saddlebag, but not in Binyamin. So we see how Yehuda defends his brother, defends his fellow Jew. Not long ago, there was a Jewish leader in Israel who made some very negative statements about the quality of Jewish life. And he implied that the Holocaust occurred because of sins and because of a failure to fulfill mitzvahs properly, and that such behavior could, God forbid, produce negative results again. And therefore, people should behave themselves. The Rebbe's reaction to this was vehement, passionate. The Rebbe defends his people. He begins with the words Vayechi. We are told that Yaakov did not die. Yaakov Avinu lay mes. He is still alive. And this is said of Yaakov, but not necessarily of Avraham or Yitzchak, or other tzaddikim, because as the Gemara explains, Yaakov is alive because ma zarei b'chayim af hu b'chayim. Because his children are alive, he too is alive. In other words, Yaakov's life continues in his children, and this is true of Yaakov, who excelled in his children. Where Avraham had Yishmael, who left him, and Yitzchak had Esav, who left him, Yaakov's children were all perfect, they were all tzaddikim. And so Yaakov lives through his children, because to Yaakov his children are everything. And so, even though it may seem that physically Yaakov's life came to an end, but in essence, the essence of Yaakov's life, true life, exists in his children, because as they are alive, he is alive. Now this means that just as Yaakov's life was a true life, titen emes liyaakov, the same is also with his children, that the children are alive as Yaakov was alive. Now one might ask, when you take a look at Jews of our generation, you see that there are many Jews who in their daily conduct are not perfect in their performance of mitzvahs, in their observance of mitzvahs. So you might ask, how can we say, Zarei b'chayim, that Yaakov is alive? Because his children are alive, sometimes it seems that his children are not so alive in the way that a Jew is supposed to live. So that would somehow detract from the life of Yaakov. And yet the Torah tells us that just as Yaakov is alive, even though physically he passed away, Nidmalehem Shemes Aval Chayhu. The same is true also with his children. It may seem that the children are not living, but in truth they are. So when the Torah says, Ma Zarei B'chayim Avhu B'chayim, then we know that the children are in fact truly alive. And the fact that a Jew can sin, so we find in the Gemara, and the Rambam quotes it, that even when a Jew sins, Yisroelhu. Afal pishachota Yisroelhu. It doesn't say afal pishachota tzadikhu, or afal pishachota he's still innocent. It says that afal pishachota he is still a Yisroel. He is still a Jew. The Rambam puts it this way, that when a person has sinned, either by failing to do a mitzvah or by transgressing a prohibition, Rambam says, Horeitzo liyes mi Yisrael. A Jew wants to be a Jew. He wants to belong to the people of Israel. And therefore, Reitzo lasis kol hamitzvahs uvesrachik min avedis. He therefore wants to fulfill all the mitzvahs and avoid all the sins. Only his Yetzer Hara, his evil inclination, has imposed itself on him like an external influence that is making him behave unnaturally. But his true will is to be a Jew and therefore to do mitzvahs. Which means that Afal Pi Shechata Yisrael Hu tells us that even when a Jew is not living like a Jew, his desire to be a Jew remains intact and his identity is never questioned. He doesn't question his own identity. And as a result, wanting to be a Jew, he therefore also wants to live like a Jew, to do the mitzvahs. And that's why the Torah is described as Yerusha, Merosha Kihilas Yankiv. We inherit the Torah. To inherit the Torah, you don't have to do anything, because you inherit simply by being part of the family, by being related. And as long as a Jew wants to be a Jew and remains a Jew, the Torah is his inheritance. We find an interesting thing concerning Atzmus Yosef, the bones, Yosef's remains, that were carried in an ark from Egypt to Eretz Yisrael, to Israel. Atzmus Yosef means the bone of Yosef's bones, also means the essence of Yosef. Yosef refers to all Jewish people. And the essence of Yosef refers to the essence of the Jew. As it says, Neye Katzein Yosef. The Jewish people are referred to as Yosef. So, the interesting thing is that during the 40 years in the desert, the Jews were carrying two arks, side by side. One was the ark that contained the Luchos, the Torah, and the other was the ark that contained the essence of Yosef, the essence of the Jewish neshama. And so the meaning here is that the two arks are inseparable. You can't have a Jew without Torah, because the Torah is engraved just as it is on the stones of the tablets of the commandments. It is engraved and ingrained in the essence of the neshama. So even when a Jew is sinning, it remains true that Yisrael is Isa v'kuchabichu kulachad, that the Jew and Torah and God are all one. From this we learn that in order to strengthen a Jew, particularly in our times, in a time of Golus, when life is difficult and so on, the way to encourage and strengthen a Jew in the performance of mitzvahs, in the life of a Jew, is through positive reinforcement. And what is the positive reinforcement? That we emphasize the greatness of the essence of true identity of the Jew, that Vayechi Yaakov, if you want to have a life of Yaakov, a Jewish life, in Eretz Mitzrayim, in Golus, it has to be through emphasizing that his children are alive in the way that he was alive. We find also that trying the opposite, using negative statements, threats of punishment and so on, not only don't they increase the observance of mitzvahs, not only don't they inspire greater devotion to Torah, but in fact they have the opposite effect. They weaken people's enthusiasm, and they actually estrange people from tshuva, from Torah, and from mitzvahs. As we see from experience in our generation, that the only way that people respond to mitzvahs is bedarkei noyam vedarkei sholem, only through avas Yisrael. And that's why the Medrash says, let Moshe come and chastise the people, criticize the people, because Moshe is ehavon, because Moshe loves them. That's why he should do the criticism. So it has to come out of love. And particularly, when our generation, those who are not fulfilling the mitzvahs, not studying Torah, fulfilling the mitzvahs, are in the category of Tanekesh Shenishbu. And the Rambam rules that those children who are raised without Yiddishkeit, raised without Torah, and are estranged from their people, they are like captured children, and even when they find out about mitzvahs, they are still incapable, like onus. They are incapable of responding because they have been raised with false beliefs. It is therefore, the Rambam says, appropriate lahachzirim b'tshuva, to bring them back through tshuva, ulemoshchem b'divrei sholem, and to draw them with peaceful words, ad sheyachzeru le'eson ha'teira, until they come back to a strength in teira. So we see that the only way to bring Jews closer to Judaism is through kindness and through love. It is also important to emphasize how undesirable and incorrect the other approach of using threats and punishment and so on, that sometimes are shocking, that they should never be repeated again, not only because we generally avoid saying negative things because we don't want to bring about, God forbid, the reality of those negative things, but in addition to that, this kind of approach and these terms, these expressions, these words, are totally unacceptable because three things. They are not true. It's not true of Torah. It is not true of God, and it is not true of the Jewish people. In fact, it is an insult to God's honor and an insult to the honor of the Jewish people. And this is as follows. It is the opposite of truth. It is not true of Torah, because the Rambam rules that the judgment of when a person is deserving of punishment or reward is not based on the number of mitzvahs or the number of sins, but rather by the weight of the mitzvah of the sin. And therefore the Rambam says there are certain mitzvahs which are so meritorious that they outweigh many sins. The Rambam then says, Ein sheiklim ela b'dayte shel keil deis. The only one who can measure and weigh the mitzvahs versus the sins is only God himself. And he knows how to value the worthiness against the guilt. And certainly in our generation, when those who are not doing mitzvahs are in the category of tinik shenishba, which is an impossible situation for the person, and whenever it is impossible to do a mitzvah, the Torah exempts you of the mitzvah so that you're not held responsible for it. And on the other hand, when those people who are in the category of Tenei Shenishbu, who have been torn away from Jewish life, when they fulfill even one mitzvah, and the Gemara says that every Jew fulfills more than one mitzvah, but even that one mitzvah, because they are fulfilling it under these impossible circumstances, that one mitzvah is more precious and more dear to God than we can imagine. And then another thing. We find in our generation that these children who are tinei shenishbu, not only are they fulfilling a mitzvah, but we find that in increasing numbers, they are coming back by the thousands to a total and full commitment to Torah and mitzvahs and a full observance of all of Torah, and it is increasing from day to day with greater strength and greater enthusiasm. So who could possibly dare to express negative words according to their own human understanding and to actually bring to his lips the idea that in our generation that there are many Jews who are deserving of punishments that are shocking, which is the opposite of the way God judges and the opposite of the way Torah judges, where the Torah finds that Tinei Shenishbu is onus and rachmona patri. Secondly, it is an insult to God to describe God as sitting and waiting and counting sins so that when the sin reaches a certain level, he will punish the sinner. This is the exact opposite of the way Torah describes God and the way God describes himself. It is an insult to God, because it makes God sound like an angry king who waits to punish, when in fact, God is the exact opposite. God is of Harachamim. He is a compassionate father, as it says in Torah everywhere, in Torah and in Maimori Chazal, beginning with the Yud-Gimel Midas Harachamim, Hashem, Hashem, which refers to God's kindness, and it is repeated twice. Before the sin and after the sin, God remains compassionate. And then, Rachum v'chanon erachapayim raf chesed noisei oven upesha v'chato. What in fact is God's main occupation? Not to wait to punish, but on the contrary, to produce joy and gladness. As the Gemara says that after creation, what does God busy himself with? With bringing together husband and wife. Mezavig zivugim, in order to increase, to bring the joy of a chasan and kala, including also the joy of children born, sons and daughters, that increase joy in the world. And then the ultimate joy of Meheda Yishama Ba'ore Yehuda, Kel Sasan V'Kel Simcha, Kel Chasan V'Kel Kala. And what's more, even when God does punish, after being patient and forgiving and so on, the punishment is not retribution, it is not revenge, it is for the benefit of the person, in order to cleanse him from the blemish that the sin creates. As the Alter Rebbe says, "Kamei Ov Rachaman, Chacham V'Tzadik, Hamake B'nei." When God punishes, it's like a compassionate father who is wise and righteous, who hits his son for the son's benefit. And Hasidim say that the Alter Rebbe describes this father as compassionate, wise, and righteous, a chacham and a tzaddik, but not a chosid, because a chosid does not hit, even for the benefit of the child. And then the Gemara describes God's punishment as a king who is washing away the dirt of his children, and that comes out of great love. And then, even when God is punishing out of love for the benefit of cleansing and removing the blemish from the sin, of the sin, even then it hurts God, and God suffers along with the person who is being punished. As it says, "Imi anechi b'tzara, b'chol tzara sam loitzar." So God suffers along with us. So to describe God as a God who punishes, who sits and waits until you've sinned enough to deserve punishment, is an insult to God. Then it is also an insult to the Jewish people. The Jewish people are God's children, God's firstborn. And as the Navi says, "Hanegeya b'chem, negeya b'bavas enei." Anyone who attacks the Jews is like starting up with the apple of God's eye. And even the prophets had to be careful in not criticizing the Jewish people. We find, for example, that Yeshaya, who was one of the greatest of the prophets, when he said, "I am impure of lips, and I live among a people who are impure of lips," God was angry with him. God said to him, "Yeshaya, b'nafshecha ato reshoi leimar. You're allowed to say this about yourself, but how could you say this about my children?" And then an angel, a fiery angel, Sraphim, came with a burning strap or a burning twig and placed it on his lips to burn away the unholiness of what he had said. So if the great prophets, the holiest of the holy, are punished or criticized for even a slight criticism of the Jewish people, certainly an average person, or even less than an average person, should be very careful what he says about his fellow Jews. As the Rambam says, you have to review many times what you're going to say in public, and when you're going to write it down, you have to review it even more, to be sure that you don't misspeak. even the Satan himself, even the Satan is not permitted to say, to be critical of the Jewish people, as it says, Yigar Hashem b'cho ha-Satan, that God is angry at him for saying negative things. In general, we find that the great leaders, the great tzaddikim of all generations, have always sought to find virtue with the people, to defend the people, never to criticize. Even the prophet who brought negative prophecies and warned of dire consequences, he was saying what he had to say and what he was told to say, but it wasn't his idea and it wasn't his feeling that the Jews deserved punishment. In fact, we find that people were rewarded for defending and finding virtue with the people. In, for example, the argument that our forefathers were righteous, and therefore we deserve to be rewarded for their righteousness, and for that, the Navi was rewarded. In general, also, we seem to assume that all suffering comes as a punishment for sin. And that, too, is really not correct. For example, the exile in Egypt was not for any particular sin, because there were no sins then. And Moshe Rabbeinu says, you punish the generation of the flood because they sinned, the generation of the Hafloga because they sinned, but why are you punishing these people? They haven't sinned. So to say that the Holocaust came as a result of sin is really not correct. It's outside the realm of punishment, because there is no sin that could possibly deserve such a punishment. And we find a very interesting thing. The Mittler Rebbe writes that in the times of the Arizal, a period ended, a 500-year period, in which people were tested in their faith. And they had to die protecting their faith. So there were 500 years of forced conversions, and those were the souls of the Jews who lived in the times of the first Beis HaMikdash, very lofty souls, but they had this weakness for idolatry. And so they corrected that by being tested in their faith and refusing to give up their faith, and in that way corrected the blemishes of having given energy to the klipa, to the Avodah Zarah. But the Rebbe says that in the days of the Arizal, that ended. It began in the times of Rashi, but ended in the times of the Arizal, and will never be again. So we can't say that the Holocaust came as a form of punishment for sin, because that ended with the Arizal. And not only that, but we refer to everyone who died in the Holocaust not as someone who died for their sins, but rather as kedushim, and as God's servants. As we say, yinkem nikmas dam avodecha hashofuch, that they died a martyr's death and they are all holy. And therefore, we have to be very careful in not criticizing the apple of God's eye after such a terrible time, such a terrible suffering, particularly after the Holocaust, when we have been purified through fire. And the way to bring a Jew back to Yiddishkeit is to remind him of who he truly is, that he is Zarei Bachayim. He has the life of Yaakov within him, and he can live the life of Yaakov if he just opens himself up to it. And by telling him who he really is and revealing his inner resources, that is the way of bringing people back to a full life of Torah and mitzvahs, until the entire people live up to their potential, so that Yaakov is alive not only through his children, but also in the literal sense. He keeps the Ranu Meshech Me'ofer, when there will be the resurrection, and he will join us and live in the physical.